There's a grand experiment going on in California, one Governor Jerry Brown and many lawmakers want to expand. In recent years, county governments have taken an ever larger role in rehabilitating thousands of teenage offenders. This year, Brown wanted to shut down state-run youth correctional facilities completely, but counties pushed back, forcing a change in his plan. Over the next 2 days, we look at the challenges of realigning juvenile justice as part of our series, Governing California. Lewis Friedberg has our first story.
Here's some questions I want you guys to think about. Why do I fail? What am I missing?
In a large living hall at Chedurgeon Youth Correctional Facility near Stockton, Counselor Jason McDaniel is leading what's called the morning check-in. Seated around him are a half dozen young men. All are convicted of felonies as juveniles. McDaniel asks one of them about the obstacles in his life that led to prison.
What do you think some of those obstacles are for you, Bencourt?
Drugs, gang affiliated. Girls, party.
Drugs, gangs, parties, girls, says a slouching, heavily tattooed young man with a smile. The average age of the men here is 19, and they have all committed serious crimes, says Superintendent Mike Miner.
Crimes ranging from rape, carjacking, attempted murder, murder.
In addition to group counseling, CHAD, as the facility is known, offers a full range of services, including education and vocational programs. It's the result of a legal settlement that forced California to end widespread abuses and poor conditions in the state's youth prisons. In a nearby classroom, I talk with 20-year-old Jason Stewart. He is reconditioning electronic equipment, which is then sold on eBay.
Here we actually get the chance for training to better ourselves so we can have the chance to get a better job when we get out.
Young men like these are at the center of a debate over whether the state should get out of the business of incarcerating the most violent juvenile offenders. There's little dispute that California is doing a better job than before, but the cost is high, some $225,000 a year for each offender. Supporters of the plan to close state youth prisons say counties do the job effectively and stretch the same dollars further. Dan McAleer directs the Center for Juvenile and Criminal Justice.
The counties can offer everything from high security institutions to medium security institutions to a vast array of community-based interventions, all under one roof.
McAleer says moving wards to county facilities also spurs innovation. He points to counties like Santa Cruz, which have assumed more responsibility for juvenile offenders and diverted many from state lockup.
So this juvenile hall has 42 beds. It's got an A unit and B unit.
At Santa Cruz's small juvenile hall, Chief Probation Officer Scott McDonald takes the short walk from an outdoor basketball court to a community room. The building is only half occupied and it's old, but for McDonald, it represents the county's success in its finding alternatives to locking up young offenders.
Because of our detention reform and our reducing our reliance on incarceration and our numbers of kids in the juvenile hall, we've managed not to have to build a new facility.
Up till now, McDonald says boosting the role of counties has worked and led to a steep decline in the number of youth imprisoned by the state, from 10,000 young people 15 years ago to under 1,200 today.
You know, that's a dramatic reduction, and I think that actually shows that we can do it, that we can realign our dollars and keep youth at the local level.
That is up to a point. McDonald concedes that even Santa Cruz County sometimes needs help from the state to incarcerate its most violent young offenders. In an adjoining room, we meet one teenage boy who's here awaiting trial. We can't reveal his name because he's a minor. He's been in and out of juvenile hall for years and is a member of a Latino street gang. In our interview, he's hard to understand.
I have to prove to him that, you know, I'm down. Now I'm waiting to take someone's life, whack someone. Just how it goes. It's pretty much every hood's like that.
What he is saying is that to gain acceptance in the gang, he has to be willing to kill a rival. If a teen like this committed a violent crime and state juvenile prisons were shuttered, Scott McDonald could have a problem.
We can't build a facility in a county our size for one or two kids who are in a facility for 2 or 3 years. This is a juvenile hall that was designed as a short-term detention.
Many of the counties simply cannot handle these youth.
Sarah Norman is the managing attorney at the Prison Law Office, which filed the landmark lawsuit that forced changes in the state's juvenile justice division. She's a longtime critic of youth prisons, but says they're still necessary as a last resort.
And in the absence of county capacity to deal with these youth, we think that the state system remains the most viable way to address their needs.
In the face of opposition from counties, Governor Brown and the legislature last week agreed to a compromise that will likely keep some state youth prisons open. Counties can handle their toughest offenders locally or pay the state to do it for them. But funding depends on voters approving a tax extension in a still uncertain June special election. The tension over who handles California's most dangerous youth points to the difficulties of carrying out Brown's vision of moving government closer to the people. For the California Report, I'm Louis Friedberg.
Our story was co-reported by David Gross and produced in collaboration with California Watch, a project of the Center for Investigative Reporting. Tomorrow we'll visit Los Angeles and hear about the challenge of getting mental health care to troubled young offenders.